Michael O'Regan's Call from the Dáil on Kerry Today.
No, Michael O'Regan with us for the Call from the Dáil. Michael, good morning to you. It's all budget at the moment. And we had Leo Varadkar on the programme yesterday talking about cutting income taxes, but also talking about cost of living. Where are the government standing with this? It's going to be a big package, I'd imagine. They're being said, we're being told, wait till Tuesday and all will be revealed.
Yes, Gerry, it will be a big passage. Some of the details being finalised this weekend. Not a lot of leaks. Leaks about the broad parameters, but not a lot about the specifics. Now, by the way, Gerry, speaking of what Leo had to say to you, that 30%, remember that 30% tax rate which he mooted some time back? That's dead in the water, I gather, totally. Yeah. I don't think it was ever a runner, but there you are. Now, there is a package, there's broad agreement, we'll have a budgetary package of $6.7 billion. A lot of money, $3 billion then for one-off measures. And the one-off measures will be interesting. Energy, of course, to feature very, very strongly. Talk of an energy credit up to €600 per household. There'll also be social welfare increases. There's talk of... apart from a significant increase in social welfare, perhaps around €15, maybe a big jump from the €5, which was the norm there in recent budgets, there's talk of a Christmas bonus type one-off boost in social welfare payments. So we wait to see what comes in that. There will, of course, be help for businesses now. Leo Varadkar was talking about that last night. There'll be sporting clubs, community groups, arts and culture groups, and all that. The word is, though, that, and I think Pascal Dinneau is very, very strong in this, that the government will hold some money in a reserve fund, because the energy problems that we're facing, paying our energy bills, which will, of course, come to to come to a crunch now when the winter sets in and all that, that problem will remain well into January and later and next year. So they will hold some money to give some extra benefits to people at that particular time. It really is, Gerry. It's a massive this is a budget like no other budgets, because here you have a budget about to be introduced with a massive cost of living problem, and with people in grave difficulties coming down the road, in particular, in paying their energy bills. So the days when innocent days, well, they weren't innocent, but they seem innocent now by contrast, when, you know, budgets were about social welfare increases, the price of the pint, car tax and all that, we've moved on a long way from that.
We certainly have, Michael, and we'll see where that one goes. Leo Varadkar, I asked him yesterday about this trade-off between cutting taxes and paying for services, and there will be this call, and you hear from the opposition, not enough given to this social welfare class, not enough given to the health service, not enough given to that, and that debate will rumble on, Michael, and it'll be interesting to see what the balance is. Now, Leo Varadkar suggesting the balance will be much more in favour of services rather than tax cuts, but seem to be keen that Fine Gael get the tax cuts in for, I suppose, that squeezed middle that they're talking about.
Yeah, you see, when Leo took over, he talked about, you know, the people who got up early in the morning, the squeezed middle, and the middle are squeezed. There's no doubt about that. The famous breakfast roll man and woman. Now, breakfast roll these days is sometimes in the kitchen because people are working from home. But he pinpointed the squeezed middle as a priority for him when he became Fine Gael leader and Taoiseach. And a lot of them vote Fine Gael, not all of them, some vote Fine Gael, and he's conscious of that too. But Michael McGrath and Pascal Dinneau have to walk a tightrope here, because tax concessions are grand, but that money is no good to people if it's going to be eaten up by inflation or increased costs. You're giving it with one hand, taking it away in the other. And there are other areas, of course, from the ones I've mentioned, people will be looking to housing. They'd be looking to rental, for instance. We have quite astonishingly, we now have, when you think back historically, we now have a problem in the rental sector, and health services, of course. So it's not going to please everybody, there's no doubt about it, but it is the kind of budget that the two ministers are able to deliver. simply, Jerry, because the money is there.
Yeah.
Imagine if we didn't have the money.
Yeah.
You know,
then we'd be in serious trouble, or more serious trouble.
We have the money to give out.
Yeah, yeah. Michael, not good news on a separate front, an ongoing problem for this government. And really, if you look at the life cycle of the government, 2 years left, the changeover will happen in December. Not much time to turn things around. And more bad news from this morning. A private subcommittee cabinet meeting told yesterday the government's landmark Housing for All plan is not delivering, not meeting the targets, and urgently needs to be revised. An additional budget funding of 4 billion may also be required if it's to meet its objectives.
Yeah, this is devastating news. When you think of the housing crisis as it is shocking news. And it's a failure again of planning and on the part of the government, and indeed previous governments, you know, who, even when this country was all awash with money, we couldn't even get housing and health right. I mean, it is quite shocking, really. And it's a failure at political level, and it's a failure at senior 7th level. Let's forget. Let's not forget, Jerry, there are very, very well-paid people in this country at senior level in the civil service. They're also responsible for running this country. One of them, lest we forget, got 80 grand extra on top of an already inflated salary to move from the Department of Public Expenditure to into the Department of Health. I haven't seen any revolution in health services yet. Anyway, we'll wait and see. But this is why the budget is going to be interesting from the housing point of view. Now, you can't wipe out the housing problem in a budget. You know, you have to have long-term planning and all that kind of thing. But I think housing could break this government ultimately and lead to a general election rout, because you have a whole swathe of young people who can't buy a house. Quite astonishing. Even young people in reasonably okay incomes and that.
Yeah.
And then you have people, students and others, young professionals and others, young teachers and all that, and people in a whole swathe of jobs who can't afford in big urban areas to rent a flat.
To rent a house, yeah. The supply just isn't there.
Yeah.
Okay, Michael, stay with us. We're going to talk more about this. We're going to talk about heckling in the Dáil, amongst other things, after we take these.
Michael O'Regan's Call from the Dáil on Kerry Today.
Now, Michael, you've picked out two incidents during the week at which show up perhaps maybe the old fault lines, tribalism, call it what you will, or one party sticking with their minister, the other party sticking with theirs, in relation to what happened to Norma Foley, the Minister for Education, and Helen McEntee, the Minister for Justice.
That's right, Jerry. There's trouble in paradise, even before the budget. This goes back to what you say, core loyalties, and that this government, as all coalition governments are, you know, they're a marriage of convenience. Fianna Fáil, Dublin Fianna Fáil senators and TDs met during the week, and they were very critical of Helen McEntee, the Minister for Justice, Fine Gael Minister for Justice, because of what happened in Cherry Orchard. Now, Cherry Orchard was a disgrace by any standards. It's a miracle that members of the Garda Síochána were not injured seriously or worse. It is simply a miracle. And of course, they're feeling the heat from constituents. Mm. And indeed, there's a problem, Jerry, in the broader area of Dublin, Dublin city centre now in the late evening. Not a pleasant place to be. Menacing air there at times. I had some friends over from London. This come during COVID, but they resume coming this year. And I had to warn them, you know, about some areas of the city centre. By the way, the other complaint they made was about prices. But anyway, to get back to Fine Gael, very annoyed with Norma Foley about the problems in the school bus service.
Yeah, Paul Keogh, having a right go at her at the Oireachtas committee meeting, you would have expected it from an opposition politician, but not one of your own, so to speak. But then again, he isn't one of her own. Having a right go at her over people not using their bus tickets, saying more thought should have gone into the free bus air and bus or bus transport tickets.
Absolutely, and to raise it at all committee, which is, you know, quite high profile. Okay, the parliamentary party meeting is one thing, but he like others, of course, Jerry, as in the same with the Fianna Fáil TDs and senators, they're getting heat too in their constituencies on this particular issue. It wasn't well planned. There's no doubt about that. It was very, very poorly planned. It was very populist at the time. A very good idea, I'm sure, but it wasn't planned, and you had this bizarre item in the Virgin Media News yesterday evening, where children in North Cork were driving a tractor to school. I mean, for heaven's sake. It looked absurd. But it does show that those two incidents this week, politically speaking, show that, you know, what holds this government together, of course, is if they fall apart, they'll hang separately at the hands of the electorate. But they're very, very much, in times of crisis, tending to go their own way. And by the way, after December, when there's the changeover of Taoiseach and Tánaiste, when the jobs are filled in a reshuffle, all that will become more pronounced.
Yeah, certainly will. We'll see what happens. Michael, have a listen to this.
In terms of making sure that when a child is born in this country, that child has access to early education, best to health services, has an opportunity to progress to primary school, to secondary school, to further education, to third level. That costs money.
But you're taxing their families out of existence.
Tax does contribute. And revenue generated
40% more, Taoiseach.
Sorry, Deputy, you've been interrupting non-stop since every time
you're not
I speak. I have not interrupted you. At least
because you can't
have
hold
the basic decorum that this Parliament demands, that you allow people to answer your question.
You're not
okay?
able to.
And the bottom line is this, in terms of the revenue that we have raised. Government is in debt, not government, the country. Significant debt. We borrow and borrow during COVID. And you go to any enterprise out there, you go to your businesses. I meet your businesses all the time. I meet businesses that provide services to all of us. What do they say about government? They say, thank you for helping during COVID-19.
My God.
They acknowledge the intervention that government made in an unprecedented way. In an unprecedented way.
30%
to keep jobs intact. To keep enterprises intact. And the proof of the pudding?
Income.
The proof of the pudding, we kept them intact, Deputy.
You did.
We kept them intact.
You
and do you know what,
down.
Deputy?
Full employment.
Do you know what? We're going to do everything we possibly can to prevent, to protect jobs again in this unprecedented crisis.
Thank you,
and it is an unprecedented energy crisis. And what I find shocking is the inability of your group to ever acknowledge the war in Ukraine as having any impact on the crisis that we're currently experiencing. You never
You're getting very loud now.
For some reason, you don't acknowledge it.
First time in a long time.
Please. I do think the public watching us would really expect us to behave a little bit more calmly when we're dealing with these matters, and a little more rash, rationally, please.
And there you go. That was Richard O'Donoghue in his exchange with Micheál Martin during the week. Micheál Martin not too happy. It continued after that with other interruptions, and it left the Taoiseach saying this then with a reprimand for the Con Corla.
Order, if I could. I've noticed now in the last half hour that every time I get up to speak, there's interruptions and there's heckles, and they're not being pulled up, I have to say. And
Taoiseach, sorry.
Promised legislation. Just I want to make a point in light of the comments that were made at the start of this. It's become very much a part of daily life here that the chair is routinely ignored by people who should know better, and irrespective of who operates or sits in the chair. And I took the comments made by the Taoiseach and the Chief Whip earlier to suggest that I was not doing enough to protect them from the opposition. Now, I will review the video of the contributions together with the Clerk of the Dáil, and I will correspond with you afterwards.
So there you go, Michael. Seán O'Friel is off to look at the tapes to find out exactly what was going on. What do you make of all this?
I think, Gerry, that Micheál Martin was a bit naive to reprimand the Count Corla. Have a go at certainly the opposition TDs if he wants to, but he's in the Dáil a long time. He knows what goes on there. For instance, the Taoiseach of the day, frequently, and the leader of the opposition, ignore the Count Corla at question time in terms of their time allocation. Frequently, the Count Corla has to intervene and say, the time is up, and they still ignore him. They tend to make the opposition tend to make statements rather than ask questions. The only one of the few opposition leaders who mastered question time was Dick Spring, who used to ask short, sharp questions, of course, and that that discommoded actually the Taoiseach of the day frequently, most specifically Charles Haughey way back in the day. But Jerry, let's get real here. If a TD stands up in the Dáil and he's a member of the independent group, or indeed a member of any opposition party, and he or she makes a big issue of something, they're looking for a clip in the evening news or the morning current affairs radio programmes, so their constituents will hear them. There was a time when the device was to get thrown out. You kept interrupting the Count Corla until he threw you out. That's less so now because of media. And, of course, there's also social media now. You can put the clip out on social media. But the Count Corla has looked at it with the clerk of the Dáil, Jerry, and he has rejected it, what Mr. Martin had to say. He said it was a typical session with interruptions. So I find it a bit amusing.
I think even as things go, he was a bit over the top with the number of times he was jumping down on top of what Micheál Martin was trying to say.
He was over the top, there's no doubt about it. He was over the top. But I think the Count Corla then, the clip show, the Count Corla then did come in at a certain stage. Perhaps he should have come in earlier.
Yes.
You see, the Count Corla, Jerry, might be a Fianna Fáil TD, but he's elected by the members of the Dáil. And he ceases to have any loyalty, so to speak, quote unquote, to Fianna Fáil. He's responsible for running the business in the House. And he does it, I think, quite well.
Yeah.
But I can understand where Micheál Martin is coming from. But look, when Micheál Martin, I'm not saying he was heckling, interrupting, but when Micheál Martin was on the opposition benches, he gave plenty of grief to the government of the day.
Is it a Bertie Ahern, Joe Higgins sort? Is Micheál Martin just getting annoyed with the Rural Independence Group in particular? He feels they are shouting and roaring, offering nothing constructive. I'm trying to do my job and I can't even explain myself. Is it getting a personal animosity between that group, and there was plenty of them heckling the government this week or criticising the government this week, and Micheál Martin?
Yeah, I think it is. I think you're right. And that was shown in exchanges some time back with Michael Healy-Ray, for instance. You could see him losing patience. But look, politics is a practical business. We're supposed to be grown up. But let's put it this way, it's not that long ago that Fianna Fáil crossed the Dáil floor to get the support of Rural Independence to form a government. And believe me, if it ever arises again, that will happen again.
It certainly will. Michael, we'll leave it there. We're out of time. Thanks for talking to me this week again. We call from the Dáil, Michael O'Regan. If you have a view on what he had to say, get in touch with us on the show. We'll have more after we take these.